living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. I need a quick correction here. It is not a best of, and I knew this. I don't know why I forgot. You'll get the very talented and capable April Murray Fogle for Midday Mobile coming up here. So I know we got some fanboys, and I doubt many fangirls, but a bunch of fanboys for April Murray. So there's your incentive to tune in and stay tuned, as you always should, to Midday for Midday Mobile. Joining us now on the line, he is the returning champion of the Jeff Poore Show. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama.
Thank you for making time for us. We always appreciate that. Now it's official. Now we can drive from Owa to the wharf and back and forth without having to pay a toll. I mean, this is a good thing, I suppose. But how we got here is probably the biggest, maybe, vulnerability or chink in the armor to this whole saga.
No, you're not wrong. It took a long time to get here. It had some, unsavory turns along the way, I think is probably a nice way to put that. I think somebody sent me just yesterday an interview that you and I had done in August of last year, really talking about how this was likely to all unfold with the settlement of a lawsuit, purchase of a bridge, et cetera. And look, it is what it is. Certainly as a state senator, I'm thrilled to have what will end up being over $150 million worth of investments in infrastructure in South Baldwin County in my district, and that's a good thing, and it'll help folks move around easier, especially our tourists. We just have to be cognizant, and I think you heard this in the mayor's comments earlier this week, we have to be cognizant of our local traffic and how the folks that actually live, work, and play here get around, and that's something we need to continue to work with our friends at ALBA on.
Do you think, are we going to be able to, see a noticeable difference in the traffic patterns, do you think? I guess I'd ask you like this, are they going to try to figure this out? Are they going to count the cars or however they do it? Were we going to get some data on how this impacts the traffic flow?
Well, we sure should, and I think that's something that ought to be demanded. That was the whole reason to do this, right? Was, we've got to get traffic off the Holmes Bridge, off Highway 59. That was the justification for spending what the state's spending, and so I think, looking at the efficacy of this plan is going to be important. And I think that as we discuss this one way on, one way off, bridge scenario, we need to look at the efficacy of that too and see if that's best for, for both the traveling public, the large amount of tourists that are coming here, but again, whether or not that's working for locals as well and local businesses too. You've got serious investment at the wharf and the old Bama Bayou site. You can't say that won't be impacted by northbound traffic only, and so we need to take some of that into account and determine whether or not this is the best way to go.
This seems. Not that I'm against it, but I am skeptical. It seems so hastily conceived, the way to do this flow. Typically, Senator, don't they put studies into this and years of? We have a couple of million dollars thrown into some kind of study or some kind of engineering task force or something, and it's just hey, we're going to do it this way now.
Yes, typically that is the way that's handled, along with, in my opinion, the conversations that need to happen with local elected officials, which I'm not sure took place before the decision was made. They may have been informed. I'm just not sure there was a lot of conversation about how that was going to unfold. And also with major businesses along the way. I mean, the way traffic flows is incredibly important for the economic health of businesses. And especially when you have large, you know, commercial properties that are really making investments in a community that are destinations, those folks really ought to be considered and at least communicated with during the process. And I understand the speed and the need to move along. I'm a let's get it done kind of guy, but I think sometimes understanding what's happening on the ground, the boots on the ground in a local community might get left out in when we're talking about folks in Montgomery making decisions about how traffic flows, you know, on Canal Road and on the Beach Express.
Well, tell me this, beyond the bridge aspect, the new Folly Beach Express will not do, but the Folly Beach Express, are we starting to see some improvements to that, you think? Is it going to change? What is that going to look like?
So, you will continue to see the Beach Express exist very much like it is right now. The Beach Express has been managed under a tri-party agreement between the City of Foley, the bridge company, and the Baldwin County Commission since its inception. And that includes an access management plan that really did not allow additional access points, certainly not across the entire Beach Express, that didn't exist at the time of its construction. And so you see a lot of those properties using existing county roads that were already there to connect to other commercial processes. The state needs to make sure that as it takes over that road, it at least adheres to the spirit of that access management plan and keeps traffic moving, you know, along the Beach Express as quickly as possible. We do not want it to turn into another Highway 59 at all. And so hopefully the state will do that, and I have no reason to believe they won't. The second part of that is I fully expect that the Baldwin County Commission will finally move forward. And I say finally, including my time when we were on the when I was on the Baldwin County Commission, but we'll finally move forward with acquiring right of way for the northern portion of the Baldwin Beach Express from I-10 to 31, and then from 31 to 65 to make sure that road becomes a reality, not just for the traveling public, you know, the tourists that are coming here, but that goes through an area of the county where there could be significant development in the future, and planning for the arteries and the roads in those areas ahead of the growth, ahead of the development, is just a smart way to go.
Yeah, and it would tie in there at Novellis, right, kind of maybe behind it on the other side of the Gulf Shores Parkway or whatever it's called?
That's correct. 287, where it connects into to I-10 there, just south of Novellis. And then the other connection is permitted by FHWA, the Federal Highway Administration, and the Corps of Engineers to tie in just on the other side of the mega site property there at Novellis. And that's been there for a long time. Those permits have been in place, and it's incumbent upon the County Commission not let those permits expire and to continue to show forward momentum on actually getting something done there.
Is the goal here at this point in time to make it a free route, or is that toll possibility still out there?
You know, that's something that will likely be determined by the next governor and the next ALDOT director. My conversations with Director Cooper and with this administration have not yielded any fruit on moving forward with that project. And so as you look at the time winding down in Governor Ivey's term, I don't think she's, you know, going to spearhead that project. But I do think it's important for the Baldwin County Commission to do just that, to put the flag in the ground, to go ahead and acquire the right of way, which is the relatively inexpensive part of that, and get that that's set in stone so that when you do have, you know, whoever the next governor is, Governor Ainsworth or whoever that is, you know, who understands the needs of Baldwin County, understands the needs of the traveling public that are coming here on vacation, can pick up that ball and run with it and make it a priority. And I think that's the path forward on that road. It's not something we're going to see next year or the year after that, but it very well may be something we see in 3 or 4 years get started in earnest.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, I asked one of your counterparts, Representative Fidler, she was on the show yesterday, but and this is separate from all of this, Highway 181, and here it is, you know, finally finished there to 104, four-lane widening. What is the plan there beyond that? Is it just to get it down to Walmart in Fairhope, or is it the state going to go all the way to 98, as some people have said?
So those plans, interestingly enough, I signed the agreements for those plans when I was the chairman of the county commission, gosh, my second or third year on the commission. So they're that old, right? They're 8+ years since that contract and that agreement was signed with the state to do that work. A large amount of money came from the county as well as from the state, but from the county and then from Restore Act to make all of that work. The plan was always to do 181 and then stop there south of 104. Because that was as much money as we could spend in that area while still spending money on 31 and Canal Road and other areas as well. And so the limiting factor is and has been and continues to be how much money do we have to do these road projects, and getting something done is better than waiting until we have enough money to do the whole thing. Does 181 need to be widened to four lanes all the way to US 98? Yes, absolutely. And will that be done one day? Yes, it'll be done one day. The question is, what money is available next? Can we get it to 34 to 32, you know, all the way down to, you know, you mentioned 48 at the Walmart there. How far south can we get with the next project? But that will continue to march south until it connects to US 98, even though that, as you well know, gets kind of interesting with some 90-degree turns there in 98 on the south end. The question is just, what are the priorities and how do we get there over time? But I am not aware of a project in the transportation improvement plan that carries that further south at this time.
Well, because just to be clear here, the initial agreement was just to 104, not to all the way to 98 when you were on the county commission.
That's correct. Yep. And that was something that, you know, we're digging into the way back, right? That's something that Mayor Cant worked very hard on when he was the mayor of Fairhope. Props to him for finally getting that inked and finally done. But that was always the agreement, was to get that first section of 181 widened down just past 104, with hopes, of course, of getting things expanded after that. But we'll continue to work on that. It is a fight. It is a slog. You've been around Montgomery, you know, a long time and know how it works. Every single dollar is competing, not just with another dollar in Baldwin County, but everywhere else in the state. So while we've got $150 million being invested in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores right now, plus, we need to be doing the same thing on the Eastern Shore, and that is the fight that we fight every single day.
It's all south of the Dolly Parton Bridge, Senator. It's all the beach. That's what I hear in Montgomery.
Yeah, it's a challenge sometimes too, because you know you bring up a good point. When Mobile gets awarded a project, when the airport gets awarded a project, you know folks don't differentiate between that and what's going on in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, and I have to explain to them those are very different economies and very different areas and very different needs, and so that can be a challenge when we're advocating for transportation dollars that we don't get lumped regionally. Nothing wrong with regionalism, but sometimes you gotta make sure you get it for your area.
And the other question, this is kind of very, very, very separate from all of this. You're starting to hear buzz again about Medicaid expansion, and yeah, I mean, am I wrong here? Because, or is this just like manufactured noise by the usual suspects, you know, on the left in Alabama. But there's also this, like, fear, like, that the governor's going to put the legislature in this untenable position of having to say, okay, we're going to expand Medicaid, and then when it comes time to fund it, are you guys going to be able to say no? And that would be a difficult thing to do, I would think.
Well, listen, this is one of the things that really bothered me about the gambling legislation, was that it absolutely had Medicaid expansion language in it. And it was a problem. It was a problem for me, and it was a problem for others that understand that once you get on that hook, once you start providing those entitlements to people, you will never wean yourself off of it. And if you don't believe it, look at the federal government and what it does. The difference is the federal government can print money and can put us in these, you know, trillions of dollars of deficits, and the state cannot do that. And a small increase in Medicaid expenses to the state will absolutely turn the general fund budget upside down overnight. Just a couple of percentage points in increases could cost hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's why I'm so adamantly opposed to expanding Medicaid, because we will end up in a spot where a small change in, you know, what the feds are participating, the rate at which the feds are participating, will absolutely upend the budgets that we have worked so hard to make sure are conservative and balanced. And so these folks that push Medicaid expansion either don't care about balanced budgets or don't care about the downside that could come from a small increase like that. And my job, first and foremost, is to be a conservative, to be conservative with the people's money, and make sure we do not put ourselves in a situation where we bankrupt the state providing entitlements, expanded entitlements for folks. That's not something that's ever going to be okay with me. They tried to sneak it in with the gambling legislation. I was just opposed to that and continue to remain diametrically opposed to any expansion of Medicaid in the state of Alabama.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We got to get out of here a little short on time, but thanks for making time for us.
You got it. Y'all have a great day.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
With the deck of 51, smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.